Brothers and sisters, please remain standing for scripture reading, and today we'll be reading from Joshua chapter 20, verse 1 to 6 and 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed you through Moses, so that anyone who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of blood. When they flee to one of these cities, they are to stand in the entrance of the city gate and state their case before the elders of the city. Then the elders are to admit the refugee into their city and provide a place to live among them. If the avenger of blood comes in pursuit, the elders must not surrender the refugee because the refugee killed their neighbor unintentionally and without malice aforethought. They are to stay in that city until they have stood trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest who is serving at that time. Then they may go back to their own home in the town from which they have fled. Any of the Israelites or any foreigner residing among them who killed someone accidentally could flee to these designated cities and not be killed by the avenger of blood prior to standing trial before the assembly." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated and let's welcome Pastor Lee Kai on stage.
Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, may you open our heart as we listen to you. The Lord, where we are going through in life, you're aware of it. May you speak to us and turn our hearts to you. And commit this time unto your hand. Just let me pray. Amen. We team the topic for today, Sunday, is the tale of the city of refuge. There's a movie, it should be beyond your time, it's in the year 2000. It's called Requiem for a Dream. You can search the internet. That was in the year 2000. It talked about four individuals, a widow spending all her time watching TV as a way to escape her loneliness in life, and also three young men and women each have a desire to pursue their dream. One of them seeking to get his mom attention, his mom approval, and also he wants to get out of his poverty. Another lady seeking to be, dreaming to appear on the TV. That she went to the extreme to take diet pills to keep her figure slim. And the other one is on drug. So these four individuals, their life went out of control. As they pursue their dream, they struggle with addiction, they struggle with their own personal trauma in life. And each of them turned to drugs as a means of escape from the emotional pain and their unmet desire. At the end of this movie, it is a sad movie. None of them ended well in their life. And it tells very in somehow rather a reality of our own life also, that how we escape our emotional pain in life, how do we deal with it in a very unhealthy way, all the heartaches in life. I think we all face pain in life, and where or who do you run to when you were in pain? And where is your place of refuge when everything in your life is crumbling down? This morning, we're going to talk about the tale of cities of refuge, a place where people run to in time of crisis. We want to have some context of what we read in Joshua 20. We know the story of Joshua, that after the Israelites conquered the land, they settled down, and the Lord instructed Joshua to establish or to build the cities of refuge where people could turn to when they accidentally kill someone. So in the Old Testament, there's a law that if someone was killed by another person, the closest of the relatives was to take revenge on behalf of the dead person. So he was called the avenger of blood. But if the person was killed unintentionally, let's say that they went for to cut the woods in a forest, so as he swing his axe, the axe accidentally fell on his friend and killed him. So this is an accident, it's not an intentional incident. So that man who so-called killed the other person, he has to flee to this city of refuge in order to save his life. Otherwise, the avenger of blood may pursue him, enrage, and kill him, even though he may not deserve death. So that man ran immediately to one of these cities, and there's no time to bid farewell to the family, there's no time to attend other businesses, and the fugitive had to put everything down and to seek refuge in the city, because the blood of avenger is hot behind him, pursuing him. There will be no stop, no delay, no detour, not even weariness to stop him from running to the city. Imagine the fugitive on the run. Someone is pursuing behind for your life. He has no peace. He can't sleep well. He has no hope until he reaches the city of refuge. We know that the city was built in a very strategic place in Israel. Three on the east and three on the west. Says the distance, wherever place that you are in Israel, you can travel within a day to this city. You can reach there within a day. And the roads leading to each of these six cities is always in good condition. There's no pothole to sprain your ankle. There's no huge rock to trip over you. And bridges were built so that people could reach the city as fast as possible. And along the roads and along the crossroads, there are always big signposts to tell you where the city is, written in huge character, just afraid that you may miss it. The character read refuge. And the gate of this city is always open, even at nighttime. It's never shut off. Just in case people were on the run in the midnight, they can enter without being held up. So when the manslayer arrived at the city of refuge, he will present his case at the gate to the elders of the city. And as the elders examine his cause, his case, to see whether it's true, then they will admit him into the city. And only in the city of refuge, he will be saved from the avenger. Not just able to stay there, the city is able to provide for him abundantly for a period of years. So it's not just a legal protection, it is also a place of provision of food and for him to stay for long. Okay, this is the context we talk about, the city of refuge being built in the times of Joshua. Now we're going to ask the question, what is the spiritual implication for us today? Before we talk about this city of refuge in our life that God wants us to run to, I'm going to talk about the false refuge in our life that we often run to, and this applies to myself also. These are common refuges that we run to in our life, other than the refuge that God wants us to take. So the false refuge that cannot really protect us. I think we want to begin the story with our ancestor Adam and Eve, how they fall in sin, and we're going to talk about the time when they are being tempted and they took the forbidden fruit. In Genesis chapter 3, we're going to see how they run to their own refuge. I'm not sure, can you read the word in English? Is it too small for you? Okay, let's try to read if you can. Let's read verse 7 to 8, and then later 9 to 10. Okay, let's read 1, 2, 3. Okay, next. You see, when God created us human beings, we are supposed to have intimate relationship with God. But when sin came into this picture, it twisted everything. And our very instinct when we sin is to cover ourselves and run away instead of turning to God. Let's look at this. When we sin, what do we do? What did Adam and Eve did when they sinned? They sow fig leaves to cover themselves. What are they trying to cover? The shame, the feeling of shame and guilt they're trying to cover. So the use of fig leaf is immediately followed by another action is they hid away from God. They hid among trees. So they see one action followed by another. They try to cover their shame, and then they hid away from God. These are the false refuge that they took when Adam and Eve sinned. They covered themselves and they hid away from God. You see, as Adam and Eve hid among the trees, they thought that if they are well camouflaged, God may not be able to spot them. The tree, supposedly in a way they thought that could provide protection and shelter for them from the condemnation of God, because they fear, they are afraid of God condemning them. The sin, somehow or rather, in a way, distorted their understanding of God. They fear of God coming, the fear of God condemning their sin. We see that as they try to run away from God, we see over here that God is seeking them, asking them, where are you? Where are you? They're supposed to run away from God. We see that God right now pursuing them. Where are you? The shame, the fear, it is still in us today. It never leaves us, even from the time of Adam and Eve. You see, when people are in emotional pain, when we do not know how to deal with the pain, the easiest refuge is to run to whatever brings us immediate comfort and relief. And often the time, this thing that brings immediate comfort and relief, it doesn't really help us. Instead, it further pushes us away from God. I'm going to list down some of the false refuge that people seek in time of their pain. One of them is overeating or undereating. When people are in pain, they find comfort from food, or the other extreme, from starving themselves as a way to manage their feeling. When people that are in pain emotionally, they harm themselves physically. I got a friend, when he was in pain, he cut himself as a way to release the pain, because the physical pain, in a way, helped him to numb the emotional pain. Probably some of us struggle with this also, because the pain inside our heart is so strong, we need a physical pain to numb our inner pain. Isolation, withdrawal from people, from friends, from families. We hide in our own cave, either playing games, watching movies, so that in the virtual world, we can escape the reality of pain we experience in life. And that is very true and common. Many years ago, I was told to visit a family, and they got a son. He didn't do well in his poly, and I think during his second year, he ended his studies. And he stayed at home for 2 years. When I visited him, he already stayed at home for 2 years. He never came out of his room. The only time that he came out of his room is to go to the toilet. And that's it. And he bring the food inside his room to eat, to play computer, and he spent his life 2 years inside. So the parents have no ways to help him, so they seek help. And I also had no way to help him also. So I'm not sure how he was. That was many years ago. He was still in his room when I visited him. That was a pain that he's not willing to face, to address. And the only way that he could do is to hide himself, to isolate himself from people so that he can live in his virtual reality without pain in the computer world. The fourth one is impulsive behavior. People who are in pain acted out in a very harmful and risky ways, like reckless spending, indulgent in sex, or dangerous driving. Excessive work. We use work to distract from dealing with our emotional pain. And one more, relationship and validation. I think it's good for us to seek relationship for comfort. But sometimes we see that as the only way, or it's the only way to deal with it. We can be in trouble. Although relationship can be a good support for us, but if we place our ultimate hope and security in human validation, it can be very troublesome. At the end of it, we'll end up disappointed. Let's read this verse together in Jeremiah 17, 1, 2, 3. A lady could not find love in her family. So she hoped to have someone to love her. She dreamed of someone to love her unconditionally. So without much thought, any guy that come along in her life, she will go into the relationship. She will end up hurt. And she go for another relationship. She end up hurt again. She keep jumping from one relationship to another, hoping that someone to fill the void that she did not have in the family. She's looking for a relationship to fill, to ease the pain that she had. But we all know that all of us are fallen. All of us, in a sense, our heart is half tank or barely filled. So none of us can fill another person with our own limited love. And that's why relationship is not our ultimate hope to find a refuge. And one more is substance abuse. People use drug, alcohol, prescription medication to numb our emotional pain, to escape reality. It can provide a quick fix. People are on drug or drunk. They can live in a world that they're piao run. They don't feel anything. But it further brings bondage to it. We're going to invite our Uncle Aifa to share about his life, that how he managed pain in his life using drug, and how had that bring him to bondage. Aifa, can you share your experience before you receive the blessing?
Hey, 大家好，我是林Aifa。我是之前，还没有，我之前是我的生活是一团糟的。我是喜欢吃喝嫖赌，还有毒品。我吸了毒品。 不但吸毒品，我还去贩卖毒品，被抓了4次，进去监牢。我出来还是没有改变，我觉得很痛苦、很失望、很绝望，因为不知道要去哪个方向。就感谢主，我靠着关毅，1993年他带我去圣恩堂教会，认识了主耶稣。但是那时候我就决志信主。 但是我没有依靠主，我还是靠我自己。我在1997年做生意时候，我的那个灵命还是没有成长，还是一直靠着我自己，没有靠着上帝他的带领，让我觉得很失望。我感觉到真的是活在这个这样的痛苦之中。 然后最后我的生命怎样的改变？我是参加了一个同伦团契，我在里面我什么都不会，那在里面慢慢的学习成长，我的看圣经、祷告，还有看见那些弟兄们他们的生命成长，渐渐的影响到我，因为我的生命为什么这样的这么的贱？因为我真的是没有靠。 上帝，没有依靠他的真理，真理是能给我思考，能改变我一切的那些作为不好的行为，完渐渐的我在里面能成长，能走到今天，也是感谢主，也是透过异光他在里面的教导帮助我，我能信靠上帝，上帝拯救我。 到今天，感谢主，因为我相信我们只要依靠上帝的话语来行。我最后的总结是《林多后书》5章17节：若是有人在基督里，就是新造的人，旧事已过，都变成新的了。感谢，谢谢。谢谢
艾芳。He was on drug, and 4 times he went into the prison. He never changed because the bondage of drug is so strong, we can never easily break away. And that's very true, the bondage of sin in our life. It's never, even though how hard we want to break away, we can never break away from it. And that's the reality in life. It's never on our own strength we can break away from it. Even though he went to church and he so-called became a believer, the moment when he started to change, when he started to read the word, and let the word of God help him to change when he depends on God, not on his own strength. I believe none of us tried on drug before, and you got friends who really on drug, and you know that they are not in control in their own life. Drug became in control of their life. They can never break away free. Even though for him it's drug, I think for many of us, there are different things that hold us tight in life that we find hard. We find it hard to break away. Because that is on our own will and our own strength. We wanted to, but we can't. And that's how true it is, sin in a way upon us. I think we want to talk about the refuge. And that is why God have this city of refuge for us to run through. Because we can never depend on ourselves to escape the pursuit of the avenger of blood. But if we run to the false refuge, and we thought that would bring us comfort and immediate relief, but it will further burn us and keep us away from God. So the only refuge is Christ, who is our true refuge in life. So the city of God that God set out in the Old Testament was only a shadow that points to Jesus Christ, who is the true city of refuge, which every sinner can run to. Not just from physical death, but more even for eternal death. All who find refuge in Him, whether you sin unintentionally or even intentionally, we can find refuge in God. I think we are given the example of King David. You know the story of King David when he had adultery with Bathsheba. He murdered her husband, Uriah. And in that intentional killing of Uriah, one day Nathan, the prophet, confronted him of his sin. And we know that in Psalms 51, David confessed his sin to the Lord and asked for forgiveness. And likewise, whether intentionally or unintentionally, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us is free from the accusation, whether unintentionally or intentionally, all of us have sinned. And in Romans chapter 3, he said that there is no one righteous, no one who understands, no one who seeks God, no one who does good. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We are not just a sinner, but we do not seek God. Just like Adam and Eve, when they sin, they hide away from God. It is the nature of our own human fallenness that we hide away from God. Let's read this verse in Romans 1, 1, 2, 3. Carry on. You see the evenness of us sinners that is stated in the verse, last verse, say that they not just know about God's decree, they know that this is evil, but yet they not only continue to do so, they also persuade, influence, approve others to join them in these evil deeds also. That is a very terrible sinners that I don't just do evil deeds, I persuade and approve others in doing that. How wicked we sinners are. And the question is there hope for such a wicked sinner? Is there a city of refuge to even those wicked people who can flee and be safe? Or put it in simple form, can the wicked be safe? And the answer is yes. But the yes come with a price to pay for the wicked deeds we have done. The cost of the free gift. I know that many a time when you go to shopping mall, when you go travel outside, there's always people offering you free gift. Once you've taken the free gift, they say, come, I got something to tell you. They introduce whatever insurance, whatever thing. Even when your friend invited you to his place to say, want to treat you for a meal, it is a free meal. But you have to know your friend take time to prepare, take the effort to prepare the food, to buy the food and process the food for you. So there is effort and there is a price to pay. There's nothing free. There's nothing free on this world. There's always a cost behind. It's just whether who pay the cost for it. Whenever you receive a free gift, maybe for new friends, you receive a free gift from Agape because there's someone who took time to design it. There's someone who took the effort to order from somewhere and to pay for it. So there's nothing free in this world. Everything of value comes at a cost. So when you talk about the grace of God, we talk about the forgiveness of God, it may seem to be appear freely given to us, but actually it comes with a high price. The price being paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. God is just. God cannot ignore our sins and say, let's forget about it. If that's the case, then he will not be just. There must be a price to pay for all the evil deeds we have done. And who pays for it? It's either you, we pay with our soul eternally separated from God, or someone else to take your place. And this someone else is Jesus Christ, who suffered on the cross for the penalty of our sin. Let's read 2 Corinthians together. 1, 2, 3. God's wrath was being satisfied by the substitutionary death of Jesus for us. That's why Jesus was put on the cross on our behalf to take upon our sin. And the only way to receive that is that we must run to him as our only refuge and trust him to be saved from death and the divine justice that pursue us like the avenger of blood. We know that in Romans 8, it says, therefore, those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no more condemnation. If you're in Jesus Christ, there's no more condemnation. Jesus is a refuge for all who have sinned, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Let's read Joshua chapter 20, verse 9, the verse that we just read just now. Okay, 1, 2, 3. The city was built not just for the Israelites, also for foreigners. It's open to all who want to run to there. So today, as we talk about the city of refuge, it is a salvation extending to all, that God invite anyone, whether you're men or women, Jews or Gentiles, rich or poor, anyone can run to this city. It's always 24 hours open. The gate is never locked. I think at the end, I want to close with this story. I don't think you've watched this before. It's in the year 1993, Fugitive. But it's still on the internet. It's quite a nice movie. I'm not sure whether you know this guy, this actor. He acted in this Star Wars. He's quite old right now, but at that time he was quite young. Harrison Ford. He acted as a doctor in this movie. The movie is called Dr. Richard. He was a famous surgeon. But one day his wife was murdered and he was wrongly convicted of his wife's murder. He did not murder his wife, but I think someone placed it on him. So he's being sentenced to imprisonment. And on his way, on his journey to be transported to the prison, there was an accident on the journey. But he was the only sole survivor. So Richard knew that he has to clear his name. So the only way is to run away to find out who the real murderer is. So he started his life as a fugitive. With the hot pursuit of police and dogs, he ran into the forest in the nighttime without knowing where he's going to. But he just ran for his life. There's hot pursuit of dogs and police behind him. He dare not stop. Even when he tripped and fell, quickly pick up himself and keep running. Because he knows the moment he took a rest, he'll be caught up by the police. So he has no peace. He has no hope until he finds the true murderer. So with no money and no food, Richard encounters several people offering him temporary refuge and help. At the end of this movie, we know that he's able to find the murderer and clear his name, and that was the only true sentry that he found. He got back to his return to his life and regain his freedom. So I think in this whole story, the refuge that this Dr. Richard found is not a physical refuge. It is a relation refuge. That people who believe in him, that he's innocent, people who accepted him as who he is, not as a prisoner, that he's free from the shadow of condemnation. The movie reveals about justice, redemption, and ultimately finding a place, not just a place, ultimately finding someone, a relationship where he can be trusted. He's truly accepted without any condemnation. I think we're very much like this Dr. Richard in our life. You're in a hot pursuit of accuser in our life. People accusing us, condemn us of our wrongdoing. We're on the run for fear of being caught up one day of our shameful acts or even our pretentious life. We have no peace, we have no hope until we find our city of refuge. This city of refuge is not a physical city, but a relationship. A relationship that offers love, full acceptance without judgment and condemnation. There's no relationship on earth, not even your loved one, will be able to offer such love to you and full acceptance as who you really are, even at the worst point of your life. Those who say that I love you, I am not downplaying marriage, but I want to let you know, those who say that I love you, they are not seeing the worst of you. Honestly, if they're seeing the worst of you, they may not be able to say I love you. And that is true. Honestly, that is true. This is hard truth. If someone who really knows who you are, the worst of you, and still say I love you and I accept you, there's no one on this earth will be able to do that. Not even your spouse, not even your parents. Because we are all fallen creatures. We don't have the capacity to give unconditional love. I'm a parent myself. I find sometimes hard to love my child. I'm a husband myself. I sometimes find hard to accept who my spouse is, or maybe for her to accept who I am. And that's the closest relationship you can have on earth, either your parent or your spouse. I think we may be young, but I think I'm now a parent, also a husband. I live life enough to see that nobody can able to do that. To see the worst of you and say that I love you and accept you as who you are. We say that easily because we're not seeing the worst of you. We say it by faith. But are we able to do that? And the answer is no. Only the love of God who's able to love us as who we are and fully accept us without condemnation. Because all the condemnation, all the judgment be placed upon Jesus. He took upon all these things in order to accept us into the city of refuge.